What splendid names for boys there are. There's Carol, like a rolling car, and Martin, like a flying bird, and Adam, like the Lord's first word, and Raymond, like the harvest moon, and Peter, like a piper's tune, and Alan, like the flowing on of water. And there's John, like John.
What lovely names for girls there are. There's Stella, like the evening star, and Sylvia, like a rustling tree, and Lola, like a melody, and Flora, like a flowery morn, and Sheila, like a field of corn, and Melusina, like the moan of water, and there's Joan, like Joan.
Eleanor Fargin wrote that poem about boys' and girls' names, but the author could be you.
The Author Is You, a Wisconsin School of the Air series about the process of writing creatively, is conducted this semester by children's author Jacqueline Jackson. To begin today's program, here's Ken Ost.
I gather from that poem about how lovely names are that we're going to think about names today, Jackie.
Have you ever thought much about names? How melodic they often are, how beautiful or how interesting, the various qualities to the names that people have. We have a record that's got a sequence on it of the singing out of different names. And our kids have always loved to play that sequence and listen to the names and then to call their own names and other friends' names in the same sort of sing-song.
Let's listen to that sequence, Jackie. This is from the record Music for Children by Carl Orff and Gunhild Keatman. And here's the part about name-calling.
Andrew, Samuel, Nicholas,
Ursula, Helena, Imogen, Alexander,
Timothy,
Hillary,
Veronica, Isabella, Anna, Barbara,
Amaryllis,
Peter,
Paul,
Sebastian,
Ebenezer.
One of the things that's fun about writing is the ability to name the people, the characters that you're writing about. And as a child, I always loved to name things. I think maybe that's one reason I wrote so much as a child. And my longest story of my grade school years that I wrote in fifth grade had the characters romantically named Orania Turquoise. That was the girl. And the boy was named Frenchy. I don't remember his full name, but they were shortened to Turkey and Frenchy. But that Orania, I think, was the most beautiful name that I could think of.
Well, names are fun. There's no question about that.
When we were little, we used to name the numerous dogs and cats that were on our farm. And my mother was active in women's club work and music club work. And there would be these letters coming in with people's names on them. And we became familiar with the names of her friends without ever meeting the friends. And certain of the names captured our fancy. Well, it was all right when we named two little kittens, very cute little kittens, Sadie and Maudie. But then when we named a large, black, scrawny cat who had had mange on his neck and lost all the hair because of the medicine that we had to put on it, we named that cat Fernwood Scrimshaw.
Yeah.
And my mother lived in dread that her friend, Mrs. Scrimshaw, might visit the farm someday and hear us shouting, "Here, Fernwood, here, Fernwood," to this extremely flea-bitten-looking cat that we were all fond of. I think probably this woman had been a Miss Fernwood, and somehow we put it together, Fernwood Scrimshaw.
You know, the poet T.S. Eliot had a theory on the naming of animals, especially cats. He said each cat needs three different names, one everyday name, like Peter or Paul or Bill Bailey, one dignified name, and he used, for example, Munkastraat, Bombilarina, Angeliolorum. And the third name, you didn't know because it was the cat's own name, and only the cat knew that one. Three names for cats.
And perhaps we all have our own names. I had names that I had fun with as a kid. For instance, I had my pen name. My pen name I still use for fun. I sometimes sign my letters to friends with the initials PPQ, which stands for P. Phineas Quigley, which was my pen name.
I can see a trend starting already.
Well, it's fun to have your pen name. We also had our movie star names.
Oh.
That when we got to be movie stars, we would then be able to whip out our movie star name already thought up. And I forget what my sister's names were, but my name was Zwizza Zwizza Za. And I used to argue with my sister Patty about it because she felt that it should have another W in it, that it should be, and she would say it with great drama, Zwizza Zwizza Zwa. And she would hang on to the Zwa. But I insisted, and I still believe rightly, that three W's, three ZW's, were too many.
Too much.
That you needed the contrast of the za to go with the double Zwizzas, so that Zwizza Zwizza Za was a better movie star name. And that was before Zsa Zsa Gabor had, I'd ever heard of her, and there is some similarity there.
Do you find you put a lot of characters in your book so you can name them?
Well, I do have a book that isn't published that's got lots of names in it. You can put names in a book that aren't names that you would necessarily name your own children. You can have fun putting in different sorts of books or a name that seems to fit the character, and no harm done in that some child isn't going to have to carry that name all his life. When I was small and we spent our summers at a lake in Wisconsin, we had a rest hour after lunch every day. I think to give my mother a rest as much as any of the rest of us, where we would sit and draw or lie on the beds and read. And I used to draw pictures of the old woman that lived in the shoe. It was always fun to work out new architectural details for the shoe, how they managed to live in that shoe. But it was also fun to draw children engaged in multitudinous activities, and then under each child to write his name. And I can see in my mind's eye one of those shoes because I named one little girl standing down in the front. I think she had a jump rope. I named her Rosemary. And I thought Rosemary was just the most beautiful name that I had ever heard. Well, a few years ago, I took the idea of the old woman that lives in the shoe and all these children, and I wrote a little picture book, which hasn't been published, but it contains many, many names. And I gave the children names from A to Z so that it's an ABC book. And it's also a catalog of naughtiness. It's explaining what each child did that finally added up to the old woman blowing her top and lining everybody up and spanking them. And I have it here. If you'd start reading, it also takes the children through the day in the shoe from morning until night. Why don't you start with nap time, which is right after lunch?
I always wondered what the shoe children's names were, by the way, Jackie.
Well, now you're about to find out.
Shh, how peaceful. Shh, how quiet. Stilled is all the rowdy riot. Hark, old woman, do you dare snooze within your easy chair? Nora Nancy's out of bed, pouring perfume on her head. Run, old woman, hurry, hasten. Oscar now can reach the basin. And your toothbrush, better boil it. Oswald's dropped it in the toilet. Someone gave a crayon to Paul. See him decorate the wall. Quincy's quite quiet, with nothing to wear. Queenie has bubblegum mixed in her hair. Ruby is pulling the ears of the dog. Rudy is ripping the new catalog. Susie is sassy and will not say please. Tim is a tattle, and Tom is a tease. Ulysses drawn pictures on both of his knees. Veronica will not let anyone in. Willie and Wally are making a din. X are the children whose names are a mystery. Brother blames brother, and sister blames sister. Enough is enough, the old woman said. For supper, you'll have to have broth without bread.
You'd have to see that picture to get the story. Somebody has taken all the bread for supper and floated it off across the pond or something of that sort to the delight of the ducks, and nobody knows who the guilty children are. I always look at an ABC book to see what the author does with X, because it's a real
test
of ingenuity to see what happens with X.
Yvette had a fit, and Zipporah bit.
And then the book finishes up with the old woman spanking the children soundly and putting them to bed and relaxing in her chair, saying that she loves them all dearly, but she loves them most when they're safe in their beds. But what is this clamor? Well, what do you think? Each one of those children is wanting a drink. And That's the end of my old woman in the shoe, ABC.
I noticed some of your names were what we think of as common names, Tim and Wally, and others not too common, Yvette and certainly Zipporah.
I think it's fun to mix names, to have common names that we're all used to, and then to work in the uncommon along with them. It makes it a nice contrast.
So in writing your stories, and it's important, really, how you name your characters as to how you want the people, the readers, to feel about them, if you want them to feel a certain way about them.
Yes, the names that you name your characters affect the way you write about them. Lots of times I've changed a name after I've used it for a while. It doesn't seem right. And other times, what you start out naming the character has to do with how that character develops. There's a tradition of naming characters according to what they're like. I brought along a book here called Jennings Goes to School, where Jennings and his friend Derbyshire are trying to think up a name for a detective. They're going to write a detective story. They thought hard for a few moments. It ought to be something out of the ordinary, says Jennings. Yes, what about Mr. Nehemiah Bultitude? Why? Out of the ordinary, or Mr. Theophilus Goodbody, if you like. Oh, don't be daft, said Jennings. You can't have detectives called things like that. Anybody called Theophilus Goodbody would have to be a clergyman. They always are. And if a chap's a farmer, his name's always Hayseed or Barleycorn, or if he's a schoolmaster, he's Dr. Whackum or something like that. And then they go on to decide that if you're going to write about a detective, he's got to have a two-syllable first name and a one-syllable last name. And this is a book of English school children, and I don't know all the detectives, but they go down the list. Sherlock Holmes, I do know. Sexton Blake, Nelson Lee, Dixon Hawk, Falcon Swift, Ferrers Locke. All the best detectives were most careful to have the correct number of syllables to their names. There are a certain number of books, too, where people don't have names, and this has an effect on the story. For instance, there's a fairly new book out called The Loner by Esther Weir. And this is the story of a boy who doesn't know his own name. He's a migrant worker, and he doesn't have a name. And the development of the story is as he is given a name and comes to know himself as a person. And Alice in Alice in Wonderland is thinking about herself and who she is, and she doesn't say, I'm Alice. She's confused. She says, I can't be Mabel, because if I were Mabel, I'd be able to do my math better or something like that. And I'm surely not Ada, because if I were Ada, and she goes on to why she couldn't be her friend Ada and why she is glad that she wouldn't be. But these are all names that you put on yourself or that are put on you that help you with your own identity.
This reminds me of Pogo's characters or Walt Kelly's characters, the three little bats, whose names are Bewitched, Bothered, and Bemildred. And when asked, which one are you, the first bat will say, depends on whose pants I have on. So they're interchangeable.
Interchangeable names, yes. You'll lose your identity, in a sense, if your names are interchangeable. Mm-hmm. If you are not Ken Ost, you know, then who are you if your name can be switched that easily? And a name is something that is extremely personal. Well, what can we do with names in our writing? I'd suggest that we play around with names. Try taking an old woman that lives in the shoe story. Make our own catalogs of naughtiness. Make our own names from A to Z. A name will lead you often into a story. A name will often suggest where to go next in a story. In my own ghost boat, I have children telling stories. And here is Betsy beginning her story. And you'll notice that when people tell stories, they usually start out with the names of the characters. And until you have the names, you often don't know what direction to go. Once upon a time, began Betsy, there were 7 sunfish. Their names were Sunny and Honey and Funny and Bunny. Bunny for a sunfish? Asked Janice. Why not? They wiggle their mouths all the time like bunnies wiggle their noses. And there was Runny. I know a fish can't run. You don't anybody need to tell me. This one had a cold all the time. It was his nose that was running. How could they tell in the water? Asked Thad. He knew because he felt sick all the time, Betsy retorted. And there was Stripey and Phil.
Phil?
Well, that was the reaction of the kids in the story, and that's what made the story turn the way it did. You knew that Phil was going to be something different because he wasn't Runny, Bunny, Sunny, Funny, Honey, did I miss any, Stripey, which is the same feel, and Phil. So immediately you know that the story is going to be about Phil, the same way that you know that, you know, once upon a time there were 4 little bunnies and their names were Flopsy, Mopsy, Cottontail, and Peter. Peter is the one. You don't need to be told. Peter is the one that's going to be different from Flopsy, Mopsy, and Cottontail. So that I would suggest for writers or just for fun to start out naming something. Get yourself, you know, a brace of ducks and name them and see where the story goes from there. Or get yourself a brace of children and name them and see where the stories go from there. Funny names can suggest funny stories. Or you might have a very funny name with a character that is not the least bit funny. And there is the contrast of your story.
All right, Jackie. If the authors now have fun with names, I hope they'll share their writing with us. You know, I've always wanted to do something with the name Poseidon J. Paregoric. Maybe today's the day.
This has been a program in the creative writing series, The Author Is You, conducted this semester by children's author Jacqueline Jackson. Your reader is Ken Ost. This is the Wisconsin School of the Air.